you are simply asking a question, what can I afford to lose? What happens if a deal goes bad? Like, I've seen many investors who get into this without thinking through the risk that they're willing to take. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton. And today we're going to talk about really the most common questions that investors ask when they're trying to determine, is Atlanta or this property or this area a good place to invest? So we take investor calls all the time. And these are the questions that we get asked a lot. And to be honest with you, they're great questions. But before the end of this podcast, so I'm going to go through the most common questions. Then I'm going to turn my attention to questions that owners should be asking, right? So investors who are considering Atlanta, whether they're looking for a partner to, you know, a real estate partner, like a holistic company or group to help them along this journey, or whether they're kind of do-it-yourself investors, these are the questions that they should be asking, but that I don't hear a lot of investors asking. All right, so I'm going to jump right in. I'm going to take it kind of from a broad perspective and then bring it down to more narrow focused on these original questions. So the question that, you know, when we're talking to investors, they're considering Atlanta. Of course, as you probably already know, we're in many different markets across the U.S. Atlanta just happens to be one of them. I think we're probably in, I've actually lost count of how many markets we're in. But you can visit our website, Evernest.co. So these are pretty common in market to market. I was just talking to somebody in Birmingham, and they were talking about the same type questions. So one of the questions that investors want to know when they call us is, why should I invest in Atlanta? Like, is Atlanta a good investment area, right? So what are they really trying to determine here? They're really trying to determine is, you know, if I make an investment, if I start building a portfolio in Atlanta, let's just say they have a goal or a target to own 50 rentals and they want to do it in one market. So the question is Atlanta the market that I want to really plant my flag? Is that where I want to, is this the place I want to really dig in? And I would say that Atlanta has a ton going for it. I mean, obviously it is, people like to refer to it as the capital of the South. It's, we've got the I want to say the nation's or the world's busiest airport in Atlanta at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. The economy is strong, like tons of tech jobs, lots and lots of people moving to Atlanta still. Now, with COVID the past couple of years, what we have seen is you know, maybe not as many people are moving to the city center because they don't have to go and work in buildings. They can do more remote work. So we're seeing Atlanta, it's already a big metropolis, but we're seeing investors find deals, find a lot of rental activity, rental demand out even further in some of the suburbs. And so if you haven't already listened to some of our other podcast about great places to invest in Atlanta, then please check those out. We've got some really good podcasts about that. We've got some videos, some articles, so you can check those out on our website. So, but really, is Atlanta like a great place to invest? And I would say absolutely it is. Not only is Atlanta, do I think Atlanta, you know, when you look at how big it is, how many opportunities there are, but also, like, it has something for almost every investor. So if you're looking for higher end properties, class A, class B properties, there are neighborhoods and areas for you. If you are more of kind of the bread and butter, typical rental property, rental house investor looking for C plus, C minus neighborhoods, then you can absolutely find them in Atlanta. And if you have, you know, you're looking for higher returns, willing to take a bit more of a risk, then you can definitely check out Atlanta has plenty of D areas and even below that. So it has something for everybody. Jobs are strong in Atlanta and the economy is strong. So I would say that Atlanta is absolutely, when you're looking in the Southeast, and if you feel more comfortable with a bigger metropolitan area, then Atlanta is most definitely a great place to check out. The other thing that we see are people. So if they don't really know some of the smaller markets, we do see a lot of investors looking at smaller tertiary markets like a Birmingham, like a Little Rock, Chattanooga, those types of things. But Atlanta is definitely on the bigger side. Probably the competition's fierce, but there's more opportunity out there. So I would say that. So that's one of the first things they want to know is, you know, is Atlanta a good place to invest? Secondly, is how is they're calling us and asking us, what do you think about this area to invest in? I'm looking for houses in this area. That could be Alpharetta, could be Snellville, it could be any place in Atlanta, any one of the suburbs they're looking for. So they're constantly asking us, what do you think about this area? And what I would say to that is there are plenty of great areas, but ultimately you as an investor need to come and visit, right? You need to come to Atlanta. You need to drive the neighborhoods, the areas that you're talking about, because what I perceive as a great area, you may have a completely different expectation of what that great area should look like or what you want to invest in. And so, I would imagine that traveling, visiting Atlanta is going to be highly, highly important. So people are always asking, is this a good area? So if you are looking at properties, I would find somebody who's going to really shoot you straight and who's going to tell you the truth and who can point you to the right conclusion based on, what your goals and objectives are. The next question that people kind of narrowing down those questions, a lot of times they'll come to us with properties already or properties that they're about to close on or properties that they are thinking about putting under contract. And they'll ask us, is this a good house to rent? So kind of my rule of thumb is I know that in Atlanta, you've got the spectrum of like different age of house. I would stay away from anything that's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. That's just my opinion. I know everybody loves 3-2s, but 3-1s are also okay in, I would say, class C, like C, C minus, D areas. If you can find 3-2, I like to keep the property age, I would say, within 50 to 60 years. We have properties and we manage properties all over the spectrum. And I'll just tell you, the older the home, the more maintenance you have on that property, the more issues you're going to have with that property. And so even if it's been fully rehabbed, when it's been lived in for a couple of years, you're going to notice more wear and tear on these older houses. So I would say, understand your buy box. Like, this is highly important for you as an investor. Understand what you're looking to buy. And that's going to help guide the type of house that you actually end up buying. Then from there, people move down and they ask, well, how much can you rent this property for? And this is a great question, right? So people need to ask this question. Like, I would, before I bought a property, I 100% would be asking how much I can rent it for. And then a close cousin to that is, how quickly can you rent this property? Now, these two things go hand in hand, right? So I'm going to give you the answer to this question, how quickly you can you rent my property? It's going to be determined on, there's three things that I like to take into account. Number one is I like to take into account the market price of the property. Now, I'm not talking about what you think it should rent for. I'm talking about what are other houses with the same square footage, bedroom, bathroom, within a close proximity, what are they renting for? Let's pull up the comps. Let's look. We have ways that we do this for investors. We have reports that we fill out. We also then look at those comps and then go on to Zillow just to make sure that they're comparable properties. And so this is really, really important for you to understand. So if you're buying a property, let's just say you're buying it from an agent or you're buying it from a turnkey provider or you're buying it from a wholesaler, and they're telling you one thing as far as how much you can rent that property for, you want to trust but verify. Like, you want to verify that. You must verify this. And so I would tell you, you absolutely need to call a property manager. I think we've said this on the podcast before. You date your real estate agent, but you marry your property manager. So a property manager is going to have a vested interest in telling you the truth. Because if you call me and I tell you, oh yeah, we can rent that property in Snellville for, $2,500, but really the market rent is $2,000, then I've just created all kind of problems for myself because I'm not going to be able to rent your property. And I'm going to have to come back to you over and over and over again for price reductions. And that's not what I want to do. I want to set the proper expectations. Here is market rent. So how quickly I can rent your house or how quickly your property can rent is going to be, number one, determined by you setting the correct market rent. Number two, it's going to be the condition of the property. So think about this, right? You know, we absolutely do rent-ready walkthroughs through all of our houses. And before we put them on the market, and we're looking to make sure that the house is ready to move in. Like, we want clean walls. We want, you know, hopefully you're going to have fresh paint. You're going to have the carpet's going to be cleaned or new, and all the appliances, everything's going to work. There's not doorknobs that stick or things that are broken. Like, we're going to make sure that the property is ready to rent. So you also want to do this. When you show the property, you need to understand that you have competition. You have competition down the street, around the in the neighborhood. And if your property is not rent ready and you're showing it, then you're not going to get applications. People won't fill out an application. And you more than likely will not rent your house very quickly. So the shape of the house, and in connection with that, now this is done on the front end, and that is, you need to make sure that the house is, before you buy the property, that you're buying a good house. And what I mean by that is, really, you want a cookie cutter house, if at all possible. You don't want a funky layout. You don't want a steep driveway. You don't want to be near a very busy street. You don't want to have power lines right next to your property. These are all things that are going to cause your property to sit for a while. And you're going to have to lower the price of what you're asking. And I talked to an investor one time, and he calls this a price reduction for irreconcilable difficulties or something like that. So, like, there's nothing you can do about the layout of the property if it is funky, more than likely. You can't do anything about the busy street. You can't do anything about the power lines or the steep driveway. So think about those things on the front end. So one you have is your property priced correctly. Next is the property in good shape. And is it, like, make sure it's not in some funky, weird area or anything like that, or have any kind of defect. And then the third thing is just going to be time of year, right? So time of year is going to be highly important to how quickly we get this done. You know that when, like, we're starting to heat up right now, it's April and we are heating things up. And so the markets are starting to heat up, and we're having more and more people go visit houses. I think overall, our median days on market is somewhere around 20 to 25 days on market. That's really good. But, and that's kind of probably vary depending on the area that you're in Atlanta. But take that into consideration. If you're trying to rent a property between Thanksgiving and New Year's, then be prepared to you know, you're not going to have as many showings. People still rent houses during those times, but their mind is on other things. Their mind's on the holidays. It's on Thanksgiving. It's on Christmas and New Year's. So it's probably going to take a little bit longer. The rental market mirrors the sales market from that perspective. All right. So, also, people call us and ask us about short-term rentals in Atlanta. And of course, short-term rentals are a big deal in Atlanta. So you can, you know, there's so much stuff going on in Atlanta. You probably need to make sure in these different municipalities what their Airbnb rules are, what their regulations are for short-term rentals. But absolutely, some markets, it's not as popular. Like, I would say Little Rock is not as popular as Atlanta. We have big markets like Nashville and Denver and Atlanta where short-term rentals are a big thing. All right. So let's turn our attention to the questions that you should be asking. Like, these are the questions you need to be asking if you are a real estate investor and you're looking to invest in Atlanta. So here are the ones that I think of all the time. Number one, what are my goals and targets? So what you need to ask first before you do anything, before you really even start doing research on an area, calling people about Atlanta or anything else, is what are you trying to accomplish? Like, what are your goals? I think so many people get in this business just because they think it You know, they think cash flow, they think passive income, they think I want to replace my salary. But they do it without really thinking through, like, what am I trying to achieve? You know, and you might start with a cash flow projection. Like, I want to, in 5 years, I want to have $5,000 of passive income. And then you start working backwards from there. But you need to absolutely have targets and goals you're aiming at. Because if you don't, then it's, you know, my opinion, I find that investors, when hard times come and when something happens and they buy a property or they have a repair that sets them back or they have some type of difficulty, if they don't have goals and objectives and targets that they're aiming for, then more than likely they quit or they give up or they get discouraged and they say, well, maybe this isn't for me. But I can tell you from my perspective, and I'm just sitting here thinking about Evernest, here we are. When I joined the team in 2014, we had, you know, 400 properties or something like that. And we said, hey, we want to have 25,000 that we're managing. Well, do you know how many setbacks and difficulties and things that happened on the way to even where we are now? We're not to 25,000 right now. We're currently at over 6,000, like 6,500. Do you know how many difficulties we've had? But if we didn't have that target, we're getting to 25,000. If we weren't repeating that and telling ourselves that and casting that vision to our teammates and our team members, then we would have given up a long time ago. I mean, it's been a hard 7 years. And it took us about 6 years to get the flywheel spinning, if you're familiar with Jim Collins' Good to Great. So what are your goals? That's number one. Then the next question you should ask yourself is, where am I currently? Now that you know where you want to go, where are you starting from? So for this exercise, I would look at a few things. I would look at your current financial situation. So where am I with capital? I just want to be super honest with myself and say, here's how much capital I have to invest, you know, and think about, and then when you're thinking about this, also think about leverage. Like, can I leverage this cash that I have to buy one property, two properties, whatever the case is? Like, have a very good understanding of your where you currently are from a capital standpoint. Because by doing that, you may realize, well, you know what? I don't have enough access to capital to do the deals that I want to do. So I might need to partner up with somebody. I might need to find some private money. And I'll tell you, private money is out there. I was just last week on a camping trip with some friends. It's an accountability group that I have. And one of these guys is super, you know, high paid, has a high paying job, entrepreneur, makes a lot of money, around $100,000 a month. And he was telling me about this real estate deal that he has been doing with this guy in town. And he said, yeah, I just loan him the money and he pays me X percent. And I'm happy with that arrangement. Like, that's money that's probably going to be cash sitting somewhere else. I'm diversified. I'm out of equities and I just have this cash and they're able to draw on it. I give them access to this much and they're able to draw on it. And every month they pay me interest. And then when they flip a house, they pay me back the full amount or whatever. So there are people out there who will do this. So you need to have a clear understanding of where you are from a capital standpoint. Then also, when you're doing this assessment of where you are currently, you also need to have a clear understanding of where you are as far as your expertise. Like, what are you going to contribute to this? Are you going to contribute time? Are you going to be looking for properties? Are you going to be making offers, rehabbing properties? Are you going to want to do repairs? Are you going to want to collect rent? All of those things. Understand where you are from that standpoint. And then if that's not you, if you're not the do-it-yourself, I'm going to do everything myself, then you need to start finding partners who can help you. And this is everything from an investor-friendly agent to obviously property management, which a plug for Evernest there. We do both of those things. We help investors find properties and manage them, but also things like a closing attorney, a lender if you don't already have one, insurance, those types of things. You need to assess where you are and do you have resources? Because this is all about leverage, right? And again, the investor that we see a lot that calls us and we talk to a lot are typically the high paid individuals like my friend who are looking for a real estate partner who to kind of do everything for them. They just want to leverage their access to capital, and they want to also leverage our relationships and our expertise to do kind of the dirty work. So those are the first two questions. What are you trying to accomplish? Like, what are your targets and goals? Where are you currently? And then lastly, it's what is my risk tolerance? That really is going to inform the goal setting. Like, how quickly can I get to my goal? Well, it should be based on risk tolerance. And for risk tolerance, you are simply asking a question: what can I afford to lose? What happens if a deal goes bad? Like, I've seen many investors who get into this without thinking through the risk that they're willing to take. And I've seen people who should have been taking a lot less risk, take a lot of risk, take out all of their savings, put it all in some D-class rental properties, and lose everything. We even had one investor back in the day. I say we had, they were a client of ours, but it was a very unfortunate situation where they came to us and said, you know, hey, we've got all these repairs that need to be made, because we went and inspected the property and said, hey, we can't market your property and rent it until these things are fixed. So either you need to take care of them or we can do it. And they came to us and said, well, we don't have any more money. Like, we're completely tapped out. We can't do this. And we were like, well, I'm sorry, we can't actually, you know, we won't market the property. We're not going to show the property to people. It's in horrible shape. It desperately needs work. So if that's the case, then we may not be able to work together, which is completely fine. You probably need to do this yourself. And it wasn't a few weeks later until I saw that they had started a GoFundMe account, trying to get people to donate to their repair fund so that they could put tenants in these houses. That's not, by the way, a good strategy for investing. Like, this should never be a strategy, is to create a GoFundMe page to get your repairs done. This person had greatly underestimated their capacity to take on risk and their risk tolerance, and they paid the price for it. They should have really been looking in, instead of buying five properties in D-class areas, they should have been buying one property in a B-class area. Honestly, that's what should have happened. So those are the three questions that investors should be asking. What are my targets? Where am I currently with both capital and like financial capital, human capital, resources, experts to get the job done? And then what is my risk tolerance? So that's it, everybody. Listen, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor Podcast. We'll be back next month with another episode.